Yeah, the building features one. Okay, so I was thinking about this building bridges between our divisions. I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony. So it sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah? Don't, I'm reaching out to you, you're reaching out to me. It doesn't matter how different we are, we're gonna make harmony. This is great. Let's do it, it's wonderful. It's so easy, we just sing it and we laugh. And then, you know, somebody comes along and asks us to trade glasses with somebody else. And okay, you know, these people have different visions, but as she noted, their vision is wrong. And our vision is right. Yeah. And then we come back to, well, it's okay, we're gonna listen to each other. And we'll make sweet harmony anyway, even though we'll wear different glasses. So that's still great, isn't it? Until you try and do it. Okay? And then what happens when you try and do it? And that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay, how do we open our hearts and minds to those close to us when we have different views, and where they're wrong, and we're right, and they don't listen to us, because they're stuck in their view, and they think they're right. So that's our problem, okay? Because these people, they clearly have it all wrong. Because one of the rules of the universe is that I am always right. Yeah. And these people are so foolish that they don't realize that that's one of the rules of the universe. And instead, they think it's a rule of their universe. But that's the problem, you see. They don't realize that I'm the center of the universe. And my ideas are always right, and I'm going to have the last word. Because I'm fighting for peace and justice and the American way, whatever that is. Yeah, and you know, we have our values, we have our principles, and these people have just got to be get their act together and change. And then, you see, the harmony went away. I thought it was going to be restored. So, you know, what's the sticking point here? Yeah, we think the sticking point, why we're not getting to harmony, is because of the other people. They did this, and then they did that, and then, okay, we believe they did this, and that, and the other thing. I can't believe it. And did you hear what this one said, and what that one said? Oh my goodness, this is terrible. Okay, so, rumor, gossip, that's part of the problem. But we love rumor and gossip, don't we? Yeah, I mean, it gives us something to talk about with other people. Makes it wonder, doesn't it? So there's rumor and gossip, and, but we still have different ideas. And they're telling me that I don't listen to them. But you see, the real problem is they don't hear me. Yeah. So they should listen to me first. And when I feel heard, yeah, when I feel heard and understood, then my great magnanimity and compassion, I will open my ears and listen to their wrong ideas. And kind of humor them until, of course, they realize that I'm right. Okay? And this is the way we approach having friends who have different ideas than us. Yeah. But we sing about harmony every Sunday morning. Yeah? And it sounds beautiful. But somehow, it's so difficult to open our hearts to hear people who think differently than we do. And I think one of the problems is we think that our ideas are us. Okay? So it's not toys are us, it's ideas are us. So if you don't like my ideas, that means you don't like me. And if I don't like your ideas, then of course I don't like you. But I think we have to question, are our ideas us? Considering that we change our ideas all the time, don't we? And considering that whatever we happen to believe at one particular time is right, even if it contradicts what we believed yesterday. Okay. We see this in politicians. We see this in ourselves. Yeah. I think most of us really like Elizabeth Warren, but she was a Republican at one time in her life. And she changed her ideas. Does that mean we didn't like her before and we like her now? Or does that mean we still don't like her because she believed that back then? But what about us? Maybe we were Republicans. I said that word. You know, are our ideas us? Yeah? Why do we cling to our ideas so much? Why do we find other people's ideas so threatening when they're just ideas? Now, granted, ideas can be powerful, but only when they motivate action. Before they motivate action, they're basically blips, energy blips in our mind. That, of course, can make us happy or unhappy and can create other ideas and negate other ideas that produce different actions. Yeah. But the ideas are basically, at that stage, just energy blips. And yet we find them very threatening. I don't know if you have this problem, but the people who know me well know that yes, I'm very open and it's fine and we will have a group discussion and everybody's ideas are welcome. But if somebody says something I don't agree with, I cannot control myself, but I must interrupt and squash their idea. Because if anybody else believes their idea, the world might end. So I have to jump in and correct it before anybody else believes it. But of course, when I jump in and correct it, it draws more attention to their idea, and then more people will think about it. If I ignore their idea, it could be that everybody else does too. actually wait with my self-control, you know, so I don't jump in and interrupt, and just wait and see where their idea goes, and maybe I don't even have to say anything. But what's more interesting in this is to look inside myself and why do other people's ideas that don't agree with mine disturb me so much? And why do I have to call these people out? And why do I have to call them names? And why do I have to gossip about them? In other words, to look inside and ask ourselves, what is my contribution to the disharmony? Now, I know that's a very radical idea, because we don't contribute to disharmony, do we? We're nice Unitarian Universalists, and we're nice Buddhists, so we don't contribute to disharmony. We sing about harmony. Disharmony, but we can't control what other people do, and it's very frustrating. And the only one we can control at all is this one, but we never want to look at this one's role in anything, because our rule of the universe is I am always right. And who's going to question that rule of the universe? Because it would shake the whole universe. Of course, our universe is floating in space anyway, and isn't grounded anywhere anyway. But I'm holding on to something that's right. Okay? So we're like this, yeah. I mean, hold your hands like this for a second. Squeeze your fists and shake. It is that a comfortable, relaxing feeling? Yeah, when your mind gets like that, is there peace in your own mind? Yeah. Are we thinking clearly when our mind gets like that? When we feel so threatened by somebody else's idea that we can't even listen to them. We have to interrupt and correct them. Yeah. So what is that saying about us? Yeah. Forget about changing the other people. That's not the way to harmony. Yeah. It's about changing ourselves. And changing ourselves doesn't mean we agree with the other person about everything. Yeah, the house can still be green. Oh, excuse me. The house is gray, but it can still be green for a certain period of time. Yeah. So we don't have to change our ideas and say gray is green. Although, you know, if you come to our abbey, we've had the same discussion about the paint in the meditation hall. Is it pink or is it peach? Yeah, and Venerable Senkei, as some of you know, she thinks it's peach, but she's wrong. We've talked about this for years. We also talked about when to pick the apples, you know. Because the apples, you know, every year we talk about when to pick the apples. We also, every year, talk about if we're going to put netting around the plum trees. Every year, you know, it's part of our friendship. So, you know, what having harmony doesn't mean that I have to change my views and think what they think. Yeah. Having harmony means that inside myself I can tolerate differences. Yeah. That I don't have to think that there's one right way for everybody. Where I can tolerate that some people think this and that works for them, and some people think that and that works for them. And we can still have lunch together without throwing food at each other. Yeah. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who's one of my teachers, he is very good friends with one Catholic priest in the UK. And I heard that one time they were speaking together, and the Catholic priest, I can't remember his name, but he was saying, you know, Buddhist ideas and Christian ideas, they basically come to the same point. And so we can live in harmony with each other. And His Holiness got up and said, no, they don't come to the same point. He said, there are differences between Christian philosophy and Buddhist philosophy. And those differences exist, but we don't need to ignore them. We don't need to pretend they're not there in order to be friends, in order to live together. Yeah. We can accept that different ideas work for different people. And we can still share together. So that really, you know, for me, that gives us a lot to think about. Yeah? So I don't have to be right about when we pick the apples. Yeah? We can pick the apples when I think it's good, and we can also pick the apples when she thinks they're good. And we can have different ideas and pick the apples at different times. And even if she picks them before I think they should be picked, but usually I want to pick them before she thinks they should be picked, it's still okay. It's still okay. Yeah. So, you know, the change is within ourselves to open our own mind. And that's the work that we have to do, and only we can do. Nobody else can change our mind or open our mind. So, this is an unpaid public announcement. Okay. Not like the ones that they gave about the hurricane in Alabama. But maybe something that might be true. So if anger disturbs you in all of this, there's working with anger. His Holiness the Dalai Lama also wrote another book called Healing Anger. Both of us plagiarized our books from an 8th century Indian sage called Shantideva. So I admit the book is plagiarized. But Shantideva's not going to sue me. Because he wants his ideas put out there to benefit people. He doesn't care about the money. The other one's an open-hearted life. And this has some stuff about compassion, okay? Which I feel compelled, I have to comment on. Because it's a little bit different than what I think. So, yeah, excuse me. Will you still be my friend? So many places I go, people love, you know, when I'm the speaker, they love talking about compassion as it means in Christianity, with come is with and passion is suffer. And you suffer with, because that's what we sing Christianity, isn't it? Yeah. And that sometimes the message people get is that you can't be compassionate unless you're suffering. And Buddhism has a very, very different idea about that. Okay? When we suffer by seeing other people suffering, we often become immobilized because it isn't suffering with, it becomes personal distress. Why do we euthanize our pets? Ostensibly, it's so that they don't suffer, but really, it's because we don't like to see them suffer. We feel distressed when we see others suffer. So, compassion doesn't mean that we go into personal distress and suffer when others suffer. Yeah, it means we understand their suffering because we understand our own suffering. It means we also understand the societal structures that cause suffering. We also understand that the real causes for suffering lie within our minds. Okay? And we want others to be free of their suffering and its causes. And so we do what we can to free them from suffering and its causes. And it's a very frustrating endeavor. Isn't it? Yeah? You can see people suffer, and sometimes what can you do? I mean, the whole thing in the Bahamas is driving me crazy, but what can I do? I can stay linked, and we have a meditation practice where we imagine taking others' happiness and give them, taking others' suffering and giving them our happiness. Okay? I can do that, so I stay emotionally connected. But what can I do? It's frustrating. And sometimes we see other people suffer, and we have such wonderful advice to tell them how they can change, so they don't suffer, and they don't listen to us. Yeah? That drives us crazy. So I think to really have compassion, we need to, there has to be some incredible openness in our mind to be able to endure not only seeing suffering without ourselves falling into personal distress, but also being able to tolerate people doing stupid things and making the wrong decisions that bring them suffering. And to see that just because people do stupid things, it doesn't mean they're stupid. They're still valuable human beings. They still have the Buddha nature. And once in a while, to admit that we do stupid things too. Just once in a while, not too often. Okay. But right now, I think I better end because I've gone over time. Yeah. So anyway, I hope, think about it, okay? Think about how you can open to differences without feeling threatened by them.